VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. I believe it was Francis Schaeffer so many years ago who asked the question, how should we then live? And really, that's going to boil down to our topic here today, because on the broadcast, we're going to be learning about a man who only lived to the age of 62 and yet is considered one of the most significant Christian figures in American history. He left an enduring mark on the church. He was known as a great evangelist. His name, D.L. Moody. And joining us here today with some characteristics about his life, we welcome James Spencer, who is president of D.L. Moody Center, an independent nonprofit organization inspired by the life and ministry of Dwight L. Moody and dedicated to proclaiming the gospel and challenging God's people to follow Jesus. He's a theologian, a Christian leader, and author of numerous books, including one that we're discussing today, Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. James, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
D.L. Moody Center, most people wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I know what that is. So acquaint us with what D.L. Moody Center is.
Yeah, we're a fairly new organization. D.L. Moody Center was actually started in 2017, and we oversee part of a historic property where D.L. Moody was born, where he lived, and where he lived a great deal of his life after he came back from Chicago. D.L. Moody established two schools in Northfield, Massachusetts, the Northfield Seminary for Girls and the Northfield Mount Hermon School for Boys, as well as holding summer conferences for pastors and Christian lay people in Northfield at a 2,300-seat auditorium that he built in 1894, it held 2,300 people and was often standing room only. And so in this little town of Northfield, it was just barely over 2,500 population. D.L. Moody was packing the house with more than 3,000 people in an auditorium that he built and just brought people together to pray, to worship together, to study God's word together, and to discern the Holy Spirit. And so we're blessed to have that property today, and we continue to use the auditorium to bring Christians together. That's a big part of our mission. But really what we want to do is just echo Moody's call for Christians to come together for prayer, study, worship, and discernment of the Holy Spirit.
So are you using the very same auditorium?
We are using the very same auditorium. It's a beautiful building. Every time I walk into it, I think to myself, just don't mess this up. We try to keep it as historic as possible without any of the, signage and crazy stuff that we could put into it as a new ministry. It is very vintage looking. Mm-hmm. We try to keep it, like I said, as historic as possible. And it is a beautiful, beautiful building. Very stunning when you walk into it.
Wow. Well, and this is something the public is able to go and view as well?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we actually have a prayer walk that the public can go in and do at any time. They can access our app on the App Store that has an audio tour of the entire campus, and they can walk around the exterior of the campus as much as they would like. They can also schedule an interior tour to go into the auditorium and various other buildings and kind of see what's inside there. We're working to renovate the campus and just make it, more and more sustainable from everything from, more mundane projects like securing the foundation of D.L. Moody's birthplace, to enhancing, exterior aspects of the property and just making them a better experience for our visitors. But, we're open for visitors, and we'd love to have people come out, do the prayer walk, see the auditorium, get up on the stage and sing, and just enjoy their time at the D.L. Moody Center.
Now, you mentioned an app, so what would they look for in their app store?
They can just search for Moody Center. And it should pop up there, and they can see, they'll get an audio tour. They can also visit moodycenter.org, and we have a prayer walk guide that they can actually see what they would see when they come to the property. as well as some of the significance of each of the buildings that we oversee there in Northfield, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. So very interesting. Again, that's moodycenter.org. And before we learn about some of the spiritual lessons that you've written about here in this book, just a synopsis of who Moody was. What was tell us a little bit about his background.
Yeah, so Moody grew up in Northfield, Massachusetts. He was born there. His father died when he was very young. And his family was in poverty. And the Moody family, as Moody grew up as a young man, really had to depend on the kindness of others to make it in the world. Eventually, Moody got old enough to work. He went to a neighboring town of Greenfield, which for us nowadays in a car takes about 20 minutes to go from Northfield to Greenfield. So for D.L. Moody back in the day, on a horse or walking would have taken far longer than that. But D.L. Moody spent most of his childhood working to help support his family. He only got about a fourth or fifth grade education. And eventually, when he was in his teens, he left his home in Northfield to go off to Boston to try to make his fortune. He was going to be a shoe salesman. And it was through being a shoe salesman that he ran across a gentleman named Kimball, who ultimately brought him to the Lord. He started attending church there where Kimball was a Sunday school teacher, and Kimball recognized that D.L. Moody didn't know Jesus. He came to the shoe store one night, shared Christ with him. D.L. Moody accepted Christ in that shoe store and then began a sort of an epic journey to surrendering his entire life to Jesus and being used mightily by God.
My.
Yeah. So D.L. Moody was a man who served not only did he sell shoes, he was a chaplain in the Civil War. He was heavy in the YMCA movement and the Sunday school movement. He established the Chicago Street Church, which is now the Moody Church in Chicago, as well as doing worldwide evangelism, establishing four or five Bible institutes or lay institutes to help Christians become better acquainted with the scriptures and really, as he framed it, develop Christian usefulness.
He was even called Crazy Moody.
Yeah, Crazy Moody was the title he got in Chicago. He was ministering to children in the slums of Chicago, which I can't help but think that he had some affinity toward because of his upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
He saw these young kids who had nothing and decided to take them to Jesus. And so he was holding Sunday school in bars, you know, bars that were closed on Sunday mornings. He'd rent them out and hold Sunday school for these young kids in the slums of Chicago. He'd offer them candy to come to Sunday school. He was quite the guy, and definitely earned the title Crazy Moody.
Yeah,
you know, that came back when he decided to build the 2,300 seat auditorium I mentioned. People thought he was nuts for building that in a town of 2,500, but ultimately they established a railroad stop in Northfield to bring people to D.L. Moody summer conferences. It was that popular.
Wow, amazing. And I find that, I'm sure they were calling Crazy Noah, back to when the ark was being built. but here, Crazy Moody. And I understand that as he went to Chicago, too, he actually assisted those that were harmed or left homeless by the Chicago fire.
He did, yeah. So the Chicago Street Church, or the Illinois Street Church, the Illinois Street Church was, he established that, and when it burned down, that was this moment of freedom for D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had been getting sort of what we might say itchy to go out and do evangelism, to get away from the more established positions that he'd been holding with the YMCA and the church, and to go out and really be an evangelist. And so after the Chicago fire, he's sort of released from all these different responsibilities. But before he goes off in his evangelistic endeavors, he takes the time to set up these shelters and to care for the people who had lost everything in the Chicago fire and made sure they had food and shelter and the physical needs that they needed to have met before he left on his missionary journey.
Hmm. James Spencer, our guest today, president of D.L. Moody Center and author of the book, Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody, which we'll be getting into here momentarily. But when you embarked on writing this book, James, Useful to God, you were not necessarily a scholar in the life of Moody, were you?
No. My background's actually in academics call biblical exegesis, and particularly Old Testament theology. And so historical theology was a new venture for me. I really dove into the life of D.L. Moody because I was, you know, working with the D.L. Moody Center and felt that it was a good idea for me to know something about the man.
Mm-hmm.
But as I dove into his life, I just became more and more captivated.
Yeah, yeah. But only lived to be 62.
Only lived to be 62, and he fit a lot into those 62 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty unbelievable what he, what God accomplished through him, is the way I would say it, in those 62 years.
Now, I do want to point out that this book, Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody, this book is not designed or intended to be a biography, is it?
No, not really. What this book really is, it's based on a book written by R.A. Torrey, Why God Used D.L. Moody. And so R.A. Torrey wrote this book. He identified seven of the eight characteristics that I use in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really felt after reading that book that R.A. Torrey's work needed to be updated and sort of brought into the modern era for modern-day Christians. And so Useful to God is written in that spirit, and R.A. Torrey was a big inspiration for the writing of this book.
Now, I'm sure people have heard that name, R.A. Torrey, but don't know really who he was. So who was he?
Sure. R.A. Torrey was a contemporary of D.L. Moody. He was sort of D.L. Moody's successor, let's say, from an evangelistic perspective, but he was also an academic. So he served at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and then became the founding academic dean at what is now known as Biola University out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was actually, when it started, the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. And some people don't know that the Biola is the acronym mm-hmm. for Bible Institute of Los Angeles. And so R.A. Torrey was an academic, but also a preacher and an evangelist, and worked with D.L. Moody, particularly at the Chicago's World Fair.
And as we get into these eight lessons from the life of D.L. Moody, these were not lessons really about his talents, but really more about his character, were they not?
They were. R.A. Torrey's thesis, which I think is a really good one, as I read the scriptures, as I sort of approach this from my theological background, part of what drew me into Torrey and honestly what drew me into D.L. Moody was this idea that, the kingdom of God doesn't advance on the skill of God's people.
Hmm.
It advances on our character. It advances on how faithful we are to God's way, to God's wisdom, to obeying God's command, and to being what God requires us to be. And so the book is really about these eight characteristics that are evident within the life of D.L. Moody that emerge across the lifetime of his ministry that really demonstrate why God is able to use this particular man in the way that he does.
Yeah. He definitely recognized that God was a potter. He was but the clay.
That's right.
Hmm. We, folks, we're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. We're speaking with James Spencer. He is author of the book Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about these lessons, not in detail, but certainly we'll give you an overview of these eight lessons from his life, that several born from the writings of R.A. Torrey, and then also put together here, added to that as well by James Spencer. So we'll delve further into the book here following the break. Also, we'll be sharing with you how you can obtain a copy of this book entitled Useful to God. So stay with us. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, can we see any other galaxies with the naked eye?
Yes, we can, Chris. We can see a few stars that seem somewhat fuzzy. With telescopes, we see that these fuzzy stars are really galaxies, each containing billions of stars. And with super telescopes, we can see billions and billions of galaxies. The universe seems to have no end. And that's what we read in Scripture. Jeremiah mentioned that the host of heaven cannot be numbered. Yet scholars were certain there was only about 3,000 stars. Looks like the Bible was right and the scholars were wrong. I suspect that that's true even today. Those who claim it all happened by a big bang are wrong. It's the back of Genesis truth of creation which stands the test of science.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
The program is called Crosstalk. It comes your way each weekday afternoon at the same time on the VCY American Network. With us today is James Spencer, president of the D.L. Moody Center, and author of Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. We kind of introduced you to Moody here at the beginning of the program. And so let's talk about some of these lessons, written about by R.A. Torrey. And that first lesson, James, from the life of Moody is that of being surrendered. How did Moody's life demonstrate being surrendered?
Well, you know, I think Moody his first deep surrender to the Lord was, it came from when he decided to surrender his business and his business ambitions in order to go into ministry. So Moody was actually working as a shoe salesman in Chicago and doing quite well. You know, we think we may not have the same perception of shoe sales today as he did back then, but back then shoe sales were a fairly lucrative business.
Mm-hmm.
He had a desire to make $100,000 in his lifetime, which back then would have been the equivalent of, you know, millions of dollars in our day, and was well on his way. And then he gets involved in ministering to kids in the slums of Chicago. And he has this growing tension in his mind of whether he should continue pursuing his business pursuits or whether he should go into full-time ministry. He's seeing all these needs around him and asking himself why he is feeling the pull, really, from the Holy Spirit. Why is it that I'm spending time trying to develop a business when I could be serving these needs? And so his first real surrender is that. It's a decision to give up his own ambitions regarding business in order to go into full-time ministry, to set aside his ambition to earn $100,000 in order to serve God full-time in ministry, mm-hmm. knowing that he won't make much money doing it.
Yeah.
And that really is the picture of surrender. It's about giving ourselves over so fully to God that we surrender and sort of set aside our own ambitions, our own agendas, our own concerns about life. And we put ourselves fully in the hands of the Lord, knowing that he will care for us, trusting that he will care for us and provide for all that we need.
Yeah, this was not a real easy decision for Moody, was it?
No, it really wasn't. He talks about it at several points in his writing as a struggle. This was not a simple decision for him. And I think one of the important lessons that we can learn from D.L. Moody is that we need to embrace that struggle.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, not being surrendered is not just a resistance of the will, let's say, right? It's something that we should be working toward. It's not something that comes easy for anyone. I think it's something that is really hard won.
Yeah.
And so as we think about being surrendered in our Christian lives, one of the things we have to do is recognize, number one, you know, at what point does God really want us to surrender our ambitions versus at what point are our ambitions what God wants us to surrender to?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that discernment process is not easy. So we've got, you know, the added complexity of understanding where God wants us to go, what God requires us to be. But then we've also got that layer of, I really just want to do this. I really want to have this comfort or that comfort. I want to be, you know, this type of person. And so it's this double-layered problem, at least, where we're trying to discern where God would have us, as well as getting rid of our own selfish desires so that we can surrender. And I think we should expect to struggle to do that.
Yeah.
I think surrender is a difficult thing to do.
Well, James, it is, because we look at our world today and all we hear about is climbing the corporate ladder of success. Doesn't matter who gets injured in the process, you know, make a name for yourself, look out for number one. And this matter of surrender really does not fit the narrative of today's society.
No, and I think even in my own life, as I sort of reflected on what D.L. Moody was talking about as he taught about surrender, I think in my own life, what I saw was that I gave myself over to that logic of sort of the dog eat dog world, the, you know, be aggressive, be, you know, just adamant about following after your own path and being diligent about your own ambitions. I think what I saw was that it's difficult to give up because it provides such a strong sense of false security. It feels like I'm building a life in which I don't have any vulnerabilities. But I think at the end, you really are still as vulnerable as ever. You're just creating the facade that you think you're not. Mm-hmm. In other words, those things that we count as successes, those things that we count as security, wealth, money, you know, ambition, reputation within a given field, you know, promotions in a particular job. Those are all sort of facades. They're more fragile than we think, in other words.
You know, we could spend our whole program just on this topic as a render. And there's so much to it. We're going to move on, though, and certainly the taste buds here for our listeners here to obtain the book. But one thing that's important to note in the surrender, and it just popped in my mind as you were talking here, James, is that he went from shoe soles to human souls, and that really became his burden in life.
It definitely was, and surrender, I think, lays at the root of so much of who Dielmud is.
Yeah,
and it's one of those things that is so crucial. If I had to name it, I would say that surrender and the undistracted chapter at the end of the book, which I'm sure we'll get to, are sort of the bookends. I put them there for a reason. They are the bookends of D.L. Moody's life.
Well, characteristic number two of D.L. Moody is that of being prayerful. Describe Moody's prayer life.
Oh, man. I can only really imagine Moody's prayer life. I think he was such a – he had such a deep Christian character that his prayer life was almost automatic. I picture it as being so authentic that it was probably short and pithy and constant, that this is a man who is not praying long prayers, who is not using big words, but who is in constant communication with God and really ready to surrender to God's will everything up in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had to summarize what I think Moody's prayer life was and what I see in his writings and his various books, it is the Lord's Prayer. It's something simple, straight, to the point, that glorifies God and asks for those provisions of the day. And there's just something so authentic and earnest about the way I envision Moody praying, that it's extremely compelling and truly laid at the foundation of all of his ministry.
And I find it interesting that, and sometimes we aspire, oh, if I could have the prayer life of Moody, but to recognize that Moody's prayer life didn't start out that way. It was kind of misdirected, and you had spoken earlier about the $100,000, and he wanted to be rich. He even prayed for $100,000, but God didn't answer that prayer, did he?
Yeah, Moody really has to learn how to pray, and that's the interesting part about D.L. Moody's prayer life, that I think as he's sanctified, as he understands where God wants to move him, his prayer life changes.
Yeah.
And so it speaks to this sort of inner relationship we have with who we are as believers, what our character actually is, what we actually desire, and how we're allowing God to transform us through his word and just through our everyday lives. And that changes our prayer life, but also our prayer life is where we have this unique, authentic, deep, transparent moment with God where we can ask him to change our lives, to transform our hearts so that we can be more authentic and so that we can understand what it means to walk with him in a more honest way.
Yeah.
And that is the progress that D.L. Moody truly makes as he becomes prayerful.
Oh, friends, even the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is really an area that needs to be developed in our Christian lives as well, as it did with Moody, and certainly as he advanced in that prayer life, and though simple, just had a sweet relationship with the Lord. We're going to move on to the third quality, James, and that is he was studious. And I find it interesting that he isn't necessarily known as being a great academic or even a theologian. So what is meant by that he was studious?
I think this is one of those things that I've tried really hard to sort of defend Moody on. I've written a couple of articles on it now, and then obviously this chapter. But I think Moody was easily a theologian in that he sought to understand what Christ was doing in the world and to move with that understanding. And I'm not really sure that there's a better explanation of what a theologian is. And so D.L. Moody was studious in the sense that he was constantly seeking out what it was that God's word said and how he could put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
He was a word and work sort of guy. And I think that that is the perfect picture of what we should be as Christians.
Yeah.
You know, I went through all the academic training and it was all about the word. And I am so grateful that I was able to have that experience. But at the end of the day, what I've learned is that it's possible to know the word and not do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to do both. And that's the way that Moody was studious. I think he studied God's word, but he also studied God at work. And he knew both really, really well. He had this interesting intermingling of understanding what the scripture said, but understanding the needs of the world and working within them. He didn't always get it right. But he was always looking for ways to serve others, to love others, and to put God's word to work in the world.
And not just a hearer, but a doer.
And that's right.
Mm-hmm. Just as a side note, after each of these points, characteristics in the book that you've written, Useful to God, I notice that you've got reflection questions. Why do you put those in there?
You know, I wanted this to be... The book is written not just to talk about these characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't want it to be an academic exercise. Like, let's find out what it means to be studious. What I wanted was for people to start putting these things into practice. And the best way I knew how to do that was to go through a scripture, really analyze the scripture and help people think through it, and then ask them reflective questions about how they could put this particular characteristic into practice in their lives. What did it mean? How does this characteristic actually hit the ground on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book is really intended not just to be a survey of these characteristics from a heady intellectual perspective, but to actually get Christians developing and cultivating these characteristics in and of themselves so they can actually be more useful to God.
Well, friends, we've just covered a few of them. We're just a minute from a break here, and we're going to do a survey approach on some of the remaining ones and have some time also to open our phone lines. But I would like to mention this book, Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody, is available from Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $17 or more. And that will include the shipping to you. All you need to do is go to vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Or you may call our switchboard here at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829 to obtain a copy of the book, Useful to God, Eight Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. We're talking with James Spencer today, who is president of the D.L. Moody Center. And they're an independent nonprofit organization, but really are there to inspire by the life and ministry of Dwight L. Moody and are dedicated to proclaiming the gospel and challenging God's people to follow after Jesus. And again, their website is moodycenter.org. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look further at some of these characteristics and just whet your appetite here, friends, for learning who D.L. Moody was and what drove him and how God used him in a powerful way. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Is it okay to abort a baby? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice. The inconvenience of pregnancy. Infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest. Incompetence of parents. And she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, Seven Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these seven questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. This powerful 42-minute DVD, 7 Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5. 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 7 Reasons.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and our program today, well, designed to challenge us to grow in our walk with the Lord and to serve Him. And looking at the life of D.L. Moody, 8 lessons from his life in a book entitled Useful to God. We're speaking with the author of the book today, James Spencer, who is president of the D.L. Moody Center. And let's delve right into that fourth quality of D.L. Moody, and that was he is or was humble. And he was not the author of the book Humility and How I Obtained It. I mean, he truly was humble in his spirit.
He was. And I mean, I think when we look at D.L. Moody and think about humility, the one thing we have to understand is that for D.L. Moody, humility was always pointing to Christ.
Mm.
It wasn't a false humility. He wasn't concerned about, you know, the way he spoke or the way he presented himself in public, which he was not a, by all accounts, sort of a great public speaker in the way that we might think of great preachers today or a great writer even. I mean, his spelling and grammar and some of his personal letters are not great. He misspelled a lot of words. His grammar wasn't good. I mean, this is a guy with a fourth or fifth grade education. That's not what he was really meaning by humble. That's not what he did that expresses his humility. His humility was always in pointing people away from himself and toward Christ. That's what he worked on for humility. There's a great quote William, his son, includes in one of the biographies of D.L. Moody that says, you know, these pastors are coming to a summer conference at Northfield, and D.L. Moody tells them, when you leave these conferences, don't talk so much about the conference or Northfield. Talk about Christ. The world needs to know him.
Wow, wow.
And that's what D.L. Moody was. He was so, he was almost disappointed, I think, that people needed to talk about him in order to talk about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he always wanted to be in the background, away from the limelight. Not because he was ashamed or shy or anything like that, but because he wanted Christ so foregrounded that he became, it's almost like a John, I think it's John 3:30.
Yeah, yeah.
John the Baptist says, you know, I must decrease, he must increase.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very much how D.L. Moody viewed humility.
Moody was also really convinced that God would use men and women of just average talent to reach the world. And that's important for us to realize as well, because we think we've got to be a big name. We've got to have all these special skills and abilities. But God is looking for just ordinary people, and that's something Moody pointed out as well.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting part of D.L. Moody's ministry. You know, today it's difficult to sort of look past all the celebrity preachers and big names we have out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that most of God's work, if we added it all up, right, God's work comes through people we'll never know. Most of us will never meet. Most of us will never know the people's names. But they come through God's servants who are just working diligently to serve him.
Oh, look at the man who led D.L. Moody to the Lord.
That's right. It's really the only reason we know him. And there were probably 50 or 100 people other that he led to the Lord that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And that did great things for God, but didn't reach to that level, that sort of 100 million across the world that is so impressive for us. But I think that's part of what I want to express in this book is to say, listen, it doesn't matter that D.L. Moody reached 100 million. That is the work of God.
Right.
What matters is that D.L. Moody was constantly pointing to Christ. And everybody can do that. All of us in our everyday life can do that. We can set ourselves aside and point to Jesus.
Hmm.
And that's really what God asks us to do. Whatever God does through us, whatever God does in addition to that, it's fantastic. It's an amazing work of God, and we should be grateful to be part of his mission and his ministry and everything that he's doing in the world. But at the end of the day, it's not about becoming a big name.
Mm-hmm.
It's about serving God in the way that God asks us to serve him.
Free from the love of money is the fifth quality. And even though early in his life he prayed for that $100,000, he actually came to recognize the dangers of money, didn't he?
It's sort of amazing that he can make this shift, right? That he can make the shift from being so ambitious to being, focused on this $100,000 goal to being a human being for whom money is really not a temptation. It's sort of amazing. But by all accounts, D.L. Moody just allowed the money to, as R.A. Torrey states it, to flow through his fingers or not stick to his fingers. In other words, whatever money D.L. Moody got, it flowed right back into the ministry. And the Moody family lived, you know, what I would call a comfortable life, right? They weren't extravagant. They weren't wealthy by any stretch of the imagination, but they weren't in poverty either. And they were always cared for. But most of the money that D.L. Moody raised went to his ministries. He was constantly giving money away. And I think he truly deeply understood that at the end of the day, the riches of this world are fleeting, and that the only thing that matters is really obeying God, following his commands, and accruing riches in heaven.
Friends, and there's much more we can see on this, but even the book pointing out about being content, and we as a society, we're not marked as being a contented people. So this lesson from Moody is important, and more is in the book that will help you grasp that. Point number six that Torrey saw in Moody was being consumed with a passion for the lost. Tell us about that passion, James.
You know, I think this is best encapsulated by the fact that D.L. Moody, who's doing evangelistic campaigns to hundreds of millions of people around the world, committed to sharing the gospel personally with someone every 24 hours. There's a fantastic story in R.A. Torrey's book where D.L. Moody runs out in the rain and tells this guy who he sees on the street about Christ. And you just think about that. This is a guy who's filled with an evangelist. This is his job. He's an evangelist. He's doing the work of an evangelist around the world. But he refuses to give up his own personal work as an evangelist on a day-to-day basis in order to share the gospel with just one person a day. That was his everyday discipline. And it demonstrates his passion for the lost in a way that I think his evangelistic campaigns just don't, because it requires an individual effort beyond and above what he was doing as sort of an organizational ministry effort. And so that was Moody's passion. He saw everything that he did, I believe, as reaching the lost, as accomplishing Christ's commission of going and making disciples of all nations.
And folks, again, the application from this book is how, you know, our own nurturing a passion for the lost and how critically important that is. It's a lesson from the life of Moody that we can learn. Characteristic number seven, I wish we had more time on this one, number six there, but number seven is to be imbued, and that's not a word we hear very much today, but imbued with power from on high. Explain that to us.
Yeah, I tried to keep R.A. Torrey's original wording. Basically, I think what we've got in evangelicalism today and in Christian circles today, out in many circles today at least, is we've lost a sense of the Holy Spirit. We've sort of allowed the sort of debates around the charismatic gifts to cloud our understanding of how the Spirit empowers our lives. D.L. Moody lived before any of those debates. And so when you read his work, he's got this very raw, very authentic experience of the Holy Spirit. And his desire was to be empowered by God to go out in the world and do God's work. There are these amazing stories of him just being in anguish in prayer about wanting God's power to come upon him so that he could accomplish God's mission. And eventually these two Methodist women, Auntie Cook and Mrs. Snow, come to D.L. Moody and tell him that they're praying for him. And he says, you know, don't pray for me, pray for the lost. And they say, no, we're going to pray for you that you would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And eventually he is just struck by the power of the Holy Spirit walking down the streets in New York. He goes to a friend's apartment, spends almost the full day in this in this room by himself, in which basically the story is that he has to ask God to stop pouring out his spirit into him for fear that he's going to die of the joy of experiencing the Holy Spirit.
You know, that's just not characteristic of today. I mean, he had no interest in growing the church's number without increasing its power. I mean, it doesn't fit the church growth movement or narrative of today.
Not at all. And I mean, I think his experience with the Holy Spirit really conditions that. He is uninterested in growing numerically. He is very interested in growing in power. And while he's often billed as an evangelist, which in our ears sometimes sounds like he's just trying to grow the church numerically, D.L. Moody was not that person. He was challenging people, believers and unbelievers alike, to come into the fold of God's people and to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and to be useful to God.
Yeah.
That's what he was challenging them to do.
I wish we had more time here, but the clock is unforgiving, James.
It's all good.
Let's go to that last characteristic that you list in the book, that beyond oratory, this is one that you developed here, and it's that word undistracted. Tell us about that characteristic in the life of D.L. Moody.
So D.L. Moody was undistracted in the sense that he was so focused on the work of God's kingdom that he refused to allow the social and political environments of his day to distract him from the work that God had called him to do. There's the ideal in that chapter, mostly with he held a lot of segregated campaigns in the South. This was post-Civil War. This was when segregation was sort of the norm. And D.L. Moody went into Atlanta initially in 1876 and held his first segregated campaign there at the insistence of various white pastors and white constituencies in the South. And so he divided the African American and the white audience and held gospel conferences in that manner. And as we look at that, it can be very controversial in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
We look at it and we say, wow, we wish he would do that differently. But I think the reality is what D.L. Moody understood was that preaching the gospel to people who have not heard it is the only true way to transform society. That if we don't capture individual hearts with the message of the gospel, if they do not accept Christ, they do not receive the Holy Spirit, they can't be truly transformed. Everything else we do is just going to sort of create new problems. And so while he took a lot of heat for that, it was probably one of the only times in his ministry that he took public criticism. I feel that it was important to address this idea of being undistracted from the kingdom work, because too often today what I see as we interact as Christians is that we're distracted from sharing the gospel, from doing the work of the kingdom by the political and social issues of the day. And so what I encourage people to do in this chapter is really to reject the stories that the world tells that deny God exists, and to embrace the stories that God tells that demonstrate his existence.
Friends, a book, Useful to God, 8 Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. We could spend a program on each one of these characteristics. You can obtain these in the book. Making it available our way of saying thank you for your support of $17 or more, and that includes shipping to you. You can go to vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or 1-800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. We're opening our phone lines here for the final segment. If you have a question about something we've talked about here today you'd like to ask James Spencer, give us a call here at Crosstalk. Our call-in number here is 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum put out his first book called The Great Reset. It should be called The Great Collapse, because it's really about how they're going to collapse the industrialized civilizations of the world. His next book that just came out is entitled The Great Narrative. That should really be called The Great Lie, because what he's stating is that what's damaging the world is the free market system. And he goes on to declare that we are on the edge of ending civilization and the world as we know it due to climate change. They used to call it global warming, but then when we had cooling cycles, they had to change the narrative to climate change. And of course, this has all been proven absolutely false. There is no such thing as man-made climate change that is so disruptive as to need to destroy the free market system. Notice what I said, man-made. It comes from the sun, largely. My friends, the great lie is we need to get rid of the free market system.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, 8 Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. We're talking about here today James Spencer, the author of the book entitled Useful to God. And I'd like to hear your comments on these qualities, surrendered, prayerful, studious, humble, free from love of money, consumed with a passion for the lost, imbued with power from on high, and undistracted. And that's what made Moody useful to God. And your calls for today on Crosstalk, we have just a brief time. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829, our call-in number here today for Crosstalk. We're going to Racine, Wisconsin. We have Christine calling in. Hi, Christine. You're on the air.
Hi. Forgive me. I did come in the middle, but I've noticed that during this time of such great upheaval and anxiety that the only thing that calms me is to get in the Word and to try to listen and memorize Scripture and looking at myself realistically. But I want to know the best way to approach individuals who I come across very, very frequently whose doctrine is so askew, it's so off-target, helpful of prosperity, Jehovah's Witnesses, apostolic. An appropriate way to do that, because no matter how I do it, it seems to come off at angering individuals.
Yeah, it's a really great question. I think what I would say is what I've found is that I always try to find it. The way I think about it is every individual Christian or every individual that we confront has a certain sense of the way the world is broken. And that sense of brokenness, that understanding of the way the world isn't the way it's supposed to be, is a great entree for us to convey the gospel to them. It's the perfect entry point because they already don't have an answer to it, and so we can step in with Christ. We can step in with a word of wisdom that's from the Scriptures and really help them to reframe reality as they see it. And so I guess my advice would be, you know, don't look for the areas where you disagree. Look for the areas where you agree, that there is actually brokenness in the world and that there's something you can speak into that only Christ can fix. And I found that to be really an effective way of approaching those who have different beliefs than I do.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
And our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. I'm confident, James, there are those listening who say, yes, I want to be used by God. I want to be useful to God. I just don't know where to begin. What would you have to say to them?
You know, it's like anything else. It's small steps. You know, I used to be a personal trainer, and so I was pretty active in the fitness industry. And people pretty consistently ask me, you know, how do I go about losing weight, which is a whole other topic. But I don't see that, you know, advancing spiritually and becoming useful to God is particularly different than losing weight. It's about taking small steps and being consistent with those small steps that'll get you there. And if you're expecting to have this happen overnight, it won't. You have to really put the work in. But the work isn't hard. The work isn't burdensome. As Jesus says, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I think the small steps of faith, committing to pray every day, committing to read the Scriptures every day. D.L. Moody Center runs a program called Go Dark, Shine Bright, coming up May 5th. It'd actually be a great way to start. It's 10 days off social media, a 10-day social media fast, 10 days of prayer and Scripture reading. But it just gives you that nice, little, simple start to begin doing things that will allow you to open yourself up for God's use.
And doesn't it go back to that first point we talked about, surrender?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, and it's so simple. It seems so hard, but the reality is it's very simple. We start start to choose those little areas where we can actually make a difference, where we can actually make a change that aligns us more closely with where God wants us to go. And that is the essence of surrender. It's a series of small steps. And after we follow that path with those small steps, what we find is that we're, walking by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm. James, you put a lot of time into research and studying and developing these principles that you wrote about here in the life of Moody, putting them in this book now called Useful to God. What is your hope that this book is going to accomplish?
You know, I think my personal mission is really to prod the church to please God together. And what I would love to see this book do is for individual Christians to surrender themselves to the Lord, to be useful to God, to play their role in what he's doing to build his kingdom, and to bring the church together. Moody talks a lot about unity. It's something that comes out in the book, but isn't the specific topic of a chapter. But he talks about unity an awful lot. Moody cared about the unity of God's people. And I think that's one of the points where I really resonate with him most strongly, is that I believe God's people should be together. And so my hope is that as individuals develop this idea of being useful to God, if they surrender themselves to him, they become humble and prayerful and all these other characteristics, that they'll also draw near to those other people who are part of the body. We are truly a people of the book and the body. And that would be my goal, is for Christians to start realizing that and to start living accordingly.
Folks, the website moodycenter.org, and James, thank you for putting the time and effort into this to really be useful for individuals and for the church today.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
And our guest today, James Spencer, author of this book, Useful to God, 8 Lessons from the Life of D.L. Moody. Again, we're making this available, our way of saying thank you for your support of this broadcast, with a donation of $17 or more, and that does include shipping to you. It's available at vcyamerica.org. vcyamerica.org, or by calling 1-800-729-9829. What a tremendous book to share, even in your family devotions, working through these principles together as a family. As D.L. Moody once said, if I know my heart today, I would rather die than live as I once did, a mere nominal Christian and not used by God in building up his kingdom. It seems a poor, empty life to live for the sake of self. Let us seek to be useful. Let us seek to be vessels meet for the Master's use, that God, the Holy Spirit, may shine fully through us. It's called Useful to God, and a powerful book to bring out these characteristics from the life of Moody that allowed him to be one that was a submissive vessel used for the Master's use. Our time is gone, friends. Again, if you'd like to obtain a copy of the book, go to vcyamerica.org. or 800-729-9829. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.